I'm going to start my sermon today by saying something shocking. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was simple. I mean that in terms of how the resurrection is described in the Bible. After the crucifixion on Friday, Jesus' body is laid in the tomb. His followers return there on Sunday to find that he's been raised from the dead, encountering either an empty tomb or the risen Christ himself. Compared to the resurrection stories that we get in today's Bible readings, that's simple. The resurrection we get today in the Gospel of John is the raising of Lazarus by Jesus, and it's a very complicated and detailed account of just how that resurrection comes to pass. Jesus is told that his friend Lazarus is ill. Jesus says that Lazarus won't die, and then later he tells his disciples that Lazarus has in fact died. Jesus then goes to the home of Lazarus, where we learn how many days it has been since Lazarus died. Jesus consoles Lazarus' sister, and then Jesus cries himself. Finally, unlike Christ's own resurrection, we actually see Lazarus return from the dead when Jesus calls him to come out of the cave, after which Jesus tells the people to remove the burial cloths from around Lazarus. Now, perhaps the primary purpose of this highly detailed passage, which occurs only in John's gospel, is to show the power of Jesus, a power even death cannot overcome. The Old Testament reading this morning from the book of Ezekiel is also very detailed, but in a different way. Ezekiel receives a vision from God in which the prophet is placed in a valley covered in dry bones and told to speak to them so that they will live again. And we see that happening step by step. But this vision is not primarily intended to show the power of God, and it certainly isn't there to show the power of the prophet Ezekiel. So what is this vision of mass resurrection for? Why does God give this vision to Ezekiel, and why does Ezekiel share it with us? This vision, and in fact the book of Ezekiel itself, was written to give hope to the people of Israel, who had been exiled from their land and taken into captivity in Babylon. A wrenching experience for the Jews, which must have felt like the death of their nation itself. But in Ezekiel, God gives hope to the people of Israel, saying through the prophet, "O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil." This vision is intended for a specific audience in a specific time, and that audience is not us, and that time is not now. God's word speaks to different people at different times in different ways. And these words from Ezekiel can speak to us here today. "O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil." God says in these words that he will do three things. Now, I'm not sure there's a sequence of causation in those three things, but I do think they're all connected. That is, what it means to truly live is to have God's Spirit in our hearts and to be where we ought to be. During communion this morning, we'll sing that old Shaker hymn, "Simple Gifts," which includes the words, "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where we ought to be." To be where we ought to be is a wonderful feeling, isn't it? To have the deep sense that we're where we ought to be is perhaps another way of saying we're home. Now, for some, depending on what images or memories the word home conjures up for you, it may in fact be better than being home. The question of what it means to be placed on our own soil goes all the way back to Abraham, who was born in Ur of the Chaldees. I love that word, Ur of the Chaldees. And was then called by God to travel, as the Lord told Abraham, to the land that I will show you. Not only did Abraham set off for a new home where he didn't know what he would find, he started his journey at the youthful age of 75. When he began his life, Abraham had been placed in Ur, but he was called to the Holy Land. Many of us are like Abraham in the sense that we are called to go to a new place that God will show us, which may be hundreds or even thousands of miles from where we were born. And that new place, or perhaps that new job or new school or new church or new relationship, becomes our new home, and it becomes our own soil. Indeed, since God's Spirit can dwell with us in any place, and it is God's indwelling Spirit that makes us truly alive, we can find our own soil thousands of miles from where we began. And we can also welcome others to find their own soil among us. In the mid-17th century, in the city of New Amsterdam, the city where my ancestors lived and which is now today called New York, unfortunately, a ship sailed into the harbor one day filled with Sephardic Jews who had come to Holland seeking a new life in a new world. And the governor of the Dutch colony, Peter Stuyvesant, an unapologetic anti-Semite, wanted to send them packing and wrote to the owners of the colony, the Dutch West India Company, asking for their permission to do just that. And this was their response to the governor. The consciences of men ought to be free and unshackled so long as they continue moderate, peaceable, inoffensive, and not hostile to government. Such have been the maxims of toleration by which this city has been found governed. And the result has been that the oppressed and persecuted from every country have found among us asylum from distress. Follow in the same steps, and you shall be blessed. Rarely has such wisdom come from a multinational corporation. But maybe things were different back then. The men who wrote these words were saying to these Jewish immigrants and so many others, "Welcome, you are now placed on your own soil." This is a calling that we have as Christians, to tell others, no matter where you have come from, in arriving here, you are now placed on your own soil, and God is with you, and you shall live. That is the maxim by which the city of my own ancestors lived. It is the maxim by which the founders of this city and state lived. It is the maxim by which our nation has often lived, and hopefully will continue to live in the years to come. And it is the maxim by which our own parish lives. Some of us do, of course, return to the city or state or country of our birth. After all, the Jews returned from exile in Babylon and rebuilt Zion and rebuilt their temple in Jerusalem. But it was not a carbon copy of the first temple. God may be calling you to return to your former home, but he is still calling you to new life. The great 20th century Anglican poet T.S. Eliot wrote in his 1942 poem, Little Gidding, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time." That the poet could have added God's words from Ezekiel this morning. "I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil."